For the ABC Information Network, I'm John Degnan.
This is Jim Madonna from Alaska Gold Trails. As you know, Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm believer that a working community is a healthy community and supports a strong mining industry. The folks over there at Golden Nugget Taxi want to remind you that for fast, friendly, and safe transportation during this festive season, give them a call at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. An easy number to remember, 451-TAXI. And Tom Gareth asked me to extend his warmest wishes for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all our listeners. Tom, I would like to take a moment to thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails and wish you and all the folks over there at Golden Nugget Taxi a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Stay tuned for the second hour of our Alaska Gold Trails Most Memorable Frontier Christmases right after Johnny Holiday Sports. This is KFAR Radio 660 on your dial in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hi, everybody. Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. Mary Decker Slaney will not be competing in the 1988 indoor track season. Slaney, the nation's top woman's middle distance runner, has not fully recovered yet from an injured right calf. Winning an Olympic medal is now the major goal in Slaney's career, and she feels she doesn't want to risk any more injuries by racing indoors. She said she'd planned to compete in only three indoor meets in 1988. Hard to believe, but still 15 of the 28 teams in the National Football League still have hopes of getting the Super Bowl. One of those clubs is the Indianapolis Colts. A Colts victory over Tampa Bay Sunday, and they win the AFC East. Indy linebacker Dwayne Bickett knows what's on the line.
Being in the position that we're going to be in the playoffs, if we win our last game, you know, you couldn't ask for a better situation. I think we're all real excited about it, and we just have to not get over excited and come out there and try to do too many things. Just got to play the ball that we've been playing and win a ball game.
Tomorrow at Christmas Day, the annual Sun Bowl takes place at El Paso, Texas. Oklahoma State, ranked 11th in the country, puts its record of 9-2 on the line against the West Virginia Mountaineers. They're 6-5. The Cowboys' two losses came at the hands of number 1 Oklahoma and number 5 Nebraska. Four of West Virginia's losses have been by 5 points or less. The Oklahoma State's out of the Big Eight and naturally has to play in the shadows of the Sooners and the Cornhuskers. So Coach Pat Jones looks forward to getting some recognition out of tomorrow's game for his Cowboys.
I don't think it's any great secret that in our league we do somewhat get lost up in the luster of the OU Nebraska. But our guys feel good about our program. Our stance has always been that they got their deal going, we got ours. I can't worry about them. I can worry about us and just try to make our program as good as we possibly can. And I think we've gotten that accomplished.
Pitcher Ron Darling and the Mets have verbally agreed in a $1 million contract for the 1988 season. That's a 5% pay cut for the veteran pitcher who went 14 consecutive starts without a victory this year. The Aloha Bowl in Honolulu tomorrow spotlights the UCLA Bruins against the Florida Gators. The Gators are led by running back Emmitt Smith, but the Bruins will have to play without their top rushing threat, Gaston Green. And the Blue-Gray All-Star Game also takes place tomorrow in Montgomery, Alabama. Gordy Lockbaum, who placed third in the Heisman voting, will showcase his talents for the Pro Scouts will be on hand. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holiday.
This is Jim Madonna, folks. Welcome back to the second half of Alaska Gold Trails. This, of course, is your Frontier Christmases special. So stick around and listen as the pioneers tell about their most memorable Christmases. Cripple Creek Service has a great winterization special on right now. Get your chassis, lube job, change of oil and filter, your differential drain and filled, pressure check, of your cooling system, your battery connections cleaned, and your belts and hoses checked. Great prices for all vehicles from imports to four-wheel drives. The four-wheel drive winterization includes repacking the wheel bearings and front hubs. Don't forget the always great prices on tires. Cripple Creek Tire also has free mounting on all tires purchased there. You can enjoy free coffee and donuts while you wait. Anniversary week special savings on all tires in stock right now from 20 to 40% off. Their brake special includes new pads or shoes, great grease wheel seals, resurface drums, repack bearings, and adjust the brakes. That's Cripple Creek Service, 2 miles past the U of A on the Parks Highway. Give them a call at 479-2067. That's 479-2067. Folks, I want to talk about some pioneers for just a moment. I want to talk about Cy and Hazel Randall. Hazel Randall came to Fairbanks in 1944 to be with her mother. Those were the war years. Fairbanks was a small town with an abundance of military, quite a different atmosphere from Houston, Texas, from when she came. She fell in love with the Golden Heart of Alaska, 4 children, 6 grandchildren, and many years later, Hazel's heart is still lost to the warm, friendly town of Fairbanks, the Golden Heart of Alaska. Cy Randall was born and raised in Eagle, Alaska, which is 12 miles down the Yukon River from the Alaska-Canada border. In the 1920s, Alaska offered a wonderful life for a boy who loved to hunt, fish, trap, and mush his dog team. Since that time, Cy and Hazel has started Reindeer Shop of the Arctic, located at 59 College Road, Suite 208 of Regency Court here in Fairbanks. What do they offer over there? Well, a large variety of products. Reindeer products, including reindeer hamburger, reindeer loin steak, reindeer shoulder steak, and so on. Buffalo products, they've got those too. Pork, smoked birds, fish, canned products, animal furs, and a number of special items. They have a large variety of Alaskan gift packs. Stop over there and visit with Cy and Hazel at Reindeer Shop of the Arctic. And, of course, Cy and Hazel want to wish all their customers and the listeners on Alaska Gold Trails a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year's. Say, are you ready? Are you ready to do what we do? Well, then let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that, of course, is our Frontier Quiz. Let's see. What can we do on our Frontier Quiz today? Well, I think that we could probably give away a... How about... Let's see here. Can we give away a free car care prize here? Let's give away this time a full exterior car wash valued at $15 from Rusty over there at Fairbanks Auto Care. How's that? For a $15 exterior car wash from Fairbanks Auto Care, and I want to thank Rusty over there for giving us this gift today. According to Oxford's quote line, what is today's price of silver? What is today's price of silver according to the Oxford quote line? And we got some calls on right away. Hello? Once again, for a complete external car care over at Rusty's Fairbanks Auto Care, a complete exterior car wash, give us the price of gold, of silver, according to the Oxford quote line. And by the way, their number over there is 452-7858. And our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. To the first person who can give us that information, we will give them a free car wash. Here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, is it $7.80?
Is it $7.80?
That's what the recording said.
Is that what the recording said?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that's not the number I got. But let's just check their recording to make sure. Okay, their number, what is their number over there? Let's see if I can put you on hold here for just a minute. By the way, what's your name, just in case I lose you?
John Mann.
John Mann.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John, let me give him a call. If I lose you, then I'll announce it over the radio, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Their number at Oxford is 452-7858. Get these buttons working. See what happens now. Sounds like they're busy. Let's try it.
See what happens this way. Well, nobody's home.
Try it again. I guess nobody's home over at Oxford. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how about $6.80?
That's the number I've got, but I'd like to try one more time at Oxford. What is your name, by the way?
Ed Sisson.
Ed, thank you for the call. And I think we've spoke before, haven't we, Ed?
You bet.
Okay, let me put you on hold, Ed, and both you and John, and hang tight. And I'll see if I can get hold of their hotline, all right?
Okay, sure.
Thanks, Ed. Once again, Oxford's hotline is 452-7858. Let's see what they've got over there. They've got a busy line. Well, I'll tell you what. John, Ed, I'll keep trying, and when I get through, we'll give you the correct answer, and one of you sure to win that complete car wash over there at Fairbanks Auto Care. Thanks for the call, and I'll get back with you. Okay, folks, we're about to launch into an interview that was done between Roger McPherson, a local frontier history buff, and Tony Gallardi, a well-known Alaska pioneer. It deals with the Iditarod Stampede, that's the gold rush, which was initiated on Christmas Day in 1908. Keep that number in mind, that's 1908. Here is the interview between Roger and Tony.
You know, when Johnny Beaton and Dykeman left Fairbanks to go to the Ophir Stampede, you know where Ophir is, on the head of the Anoka. Well, that night, on the Anoka River, now I got this story from Johnny Beaton himself. This is not secondhand. I knew Johnny Beaton very, very well. He was a very nice little man. He was a Scotchman, see? And when he and Dykeman were camped across from the Iditarod, which they didn't know that the Iditarod came in there, there was a trapper came out that night, that came out of the Iditarod, and he saw their campfire. Well, he was in the Iditarod country for 3 years, but he got sick. So he had to come out, and he had a whole load of fur and the boat that he built. Well, he saw their campfire when he come out of the Iditarod, so he goes over there, and here's Johnny Beaton and Dykeman. They were camped for the night, you know. And they had a little boat with a little boiler in it, and it had a little steam and had two side wheelers, see? So when they were going upstream, they could cut wood and use steam to use the little side wheelers to help them go up the river, see? So he got over there talking to these guys, and he told them, he says, you know, I've been 3 years up in this country, and I've been panning the bars. And he says, you know, they pan good on this river. Way, way up. He told them how many miles he figured it was. So now he says, if you guys go up there, why, he says, you stake me in if you go up there. Well, they change their mind that night, and they goes up the Iditarod. And they got up to where he told them where the swift water was, and they start panning the bars. Well, then they begin to get a few colors. And he told them now, he says, you know, when you get above this creek, I call Otter Creek because I caught so many otter on it. Why, he says, they don't pan above that. But he says, otter pans good. And that's how it got his name, Otter, from this old man. And they just called it Otter from then on, see? Well, when they went up there and they got above Otter Creek and they run out of the panning, so they dropped down, see? But they couldn't get up Otter with their boat because Otter Creek was too small for their size of boat, see? And they had a two-year supply in that boat, see? Them days you had a supply, you had to take it with you. And then you had, and then there was a lot of boys in Fairbanks that would stake. They'd give them $100, you know, and to give them a power of attorney to stake for them if they hit anything, see? So they goes up the Iditarod, and as I say, they got above Otter Creek. So Johnny Beaton walked up Otter Creek. And he got up above this mountain here.
Behind Iditarod there.
On there, yeah. But he get this mountain faces flat. See? That's faces flat, right on flat. Or Otter Creek, I should say. Not Flat Creek, but Otter Creek. And when he got above this, he climbed this mountain and got up on top of it to see where the Iditarod came the closest. See? And he found out it came the closest in this big bend. See? And that would, instead of walking up through the flats, which would be hard walking all the time, you know, the swamps and all that. So they went back and they drifted down until they come to this big bend. Then they parked their boat. Then they could go across here and then they could take the ridges to flat. And that would be easier walking, see, and because it's up high, you know, dry. And so they found a little, they got up above the pay on Otter. So they kept dropping down below, and they got above Granite Creek. And they got down below Granite Creek, they began to get a little pay, you see. So on Christmas Day, they struck the pay in 1908 on Otter Creek. So Johnny Beaton and Dykeman, they were partners in the boat, they were partners in the grub. They were partners sinking holes, but when they come to staking, they staked individually. In them days, you could stake 8 claim associations, see? So Johnny Beaton would, if he took the left limit, Dykeman would take the right limit. Then they would crisscross. And they'd done that all the way down below the mouth of Flat, in which I would say maybe 4.5 miles that they staked, because they had so many power of attorneys too, you know. Well, then they had to hike to Ophir, you know, and so they went up Otter Creek and took the ridges all over until they came out to Ophir, and they recorded. And then on their way back, there was 3 or 4 boys that wanted to come with them, or maybe more, I don't know which. Well, anyway, when they got back to Otter Creek, they had Otter Creek staked. So these guys, well, one would take Slate Creek, one took Black Creek, one took Granite Creek, one took Glen Gulch. And before Johnny went to Ophir to record, he walked up Flat Creek. And right at the head of Flat Creek, and you go right up on the top as the summit, there's 3 great big granite pillars, all granite boulders, sitting right on top of each other. They're still there. And he looked up there, and he decided that there was not any money on Flat Creek. See, Nome don't carry granite. Fairbanks don't carry granite. The Klondike didn't carry any granite. Iditarod was the first outcrop of granite that these old-timers run across that carried gold. See? So he walked away. See, he come down, went back to camp, then they started over to record to Ophir. And as I say, these boys came over with him, which they asked him if they could come with him, and they said, yeah, sure, there's plenty country over there, and it needs prospecting. So this one guy was left, see? And Johnny told him there's no sense going down to that creek because it had a big granite outburst, or blowout, I should say. Well, he says, Johnny, I don't want to fringe on these other guys. He says, I'm going down there and I'm going to sink a hole on that creek. So he went down there, and you know, you always go up to the head of the creek to sink, you know, and then because you figure it'd be shallower ground, see, and then instead of at the mouth. So he went up here right at the butt of the hill, going up in the upgrade, and he set his tent up, you know, and he starts sinking a hole, which was them maybe, 12, 14 or 16 feet deep, see? So he sank this hole. He got a $2.50 pan. So he comes down to Flat Creek, and he goes up Otter Creek, and he says to Johnny Beaton, he says, Johnny, I thought you told me there was no money on that creek. Johnny says, yes. Well, he says, here, look, it's a $2.50 pan. Well, at that time, a $2.50 pan would be about $17 a foot. See? Well, that's awful good money. If it was only $16 an ounce. Johnny said, you know, I slapped my head, you know. He says, and I walked away from it.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate you providing us with rendition of the Iditarod Gold Rush. And now, folks, I want to let you know that in just a couple of minutes that Paul Harvey will be up with the rest of the story. And the sponsor of Paul Harvey, of course, is Alascom.
The folks at Alascom wish you and all your family a wonderful holiday season. It's a time to share the warmth of each other's company and to be close to your loved ones. And when sharing a season's greetings means a long-distance phone call, don't forget to call early. Happy holidays from all of us at Alascom.
Americans, I'm Paul Harvey. You know what the news is. In a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Think for a minute. What could happen if every one of us gave just 5 hours a week? If we gave just 5% of what we earn to the causes we say we care about? It could add up to the biggest, most effective volunteer effort this country has ever seen. And we could accomplish things that right now we only dream about. Just 5 hours. Just 5%. It's not that much to give, but what we could get back is immeasurable. A public service of Independent Sector and the Ad Council.
In the Wayne Research Laboratories, nutrition scientists now have developed a Wayne dog food for your dog, which is packed with more protein per dollar than any other leading brand. Your dog may eat less and still be satisfied. Still get optimum nutrition. There are reasons known to dog experts that eating less yet getting optimum nutrition can provide extra energy. And though it's too soon to say, some of us are betting extra longevity also. To locate your nearest source for this none better at any price dog food, go to any Wayne pet food professional. And now, the rest of the story. Author Philip Van Doren Stern got the idea one winter morning in 1938 while he was shaving. He was shaving, and the entire story came to him beginning to end right there in front of the bathroom mirror. But Philip would not write the story down until a year later, and he would not try to sell the story until 4 more years had passed, and even then nobody would buy it. He tried to interest magazines in publishing it. He was turned down by everything from the Saturday Evening Post to the local farm journals. Finally, a movie studio bought the story, which the author had entitled The Greatest Gift. RKO Radio Pictures purchased the property at the suggestion of Cary Grant, by the way. Cary Grant thought the hero might be a suitable role for himself someday. And yet, try as they might, RKO screenwriters simply could not adapt the story to a movie-worthy script. So more years passed. RKO sold The Greatest Gift to another movie maker who had just organized a new company called Liberty Films. That producer-director's name, by the way, was Frank Capra. And under his loving guidance, Philip Stern's little Christmas story did grow into one of the most moving and heartwarming tales ever told. And each Christmas time, televiewers thrill to the retelling of an all-American yarn which Frank Capra retitled, It's a Wonderful Life. But this is the rest of the story. The motion picture, It's a Wonderful Life, is about a man named George Bailey on the brink of suicide, granted a unique opportunity to see what the world would have been like had he never been born. It's a Wonderful Life has become a classic, consistently listed by critics among the 10 greatest movies ever made. But it did not become an American cultural phenomenon until the mid-1970s, and there's a reason for that, aside from its intrinsic greatness. For you see, when It's a Wonderful Life first appeared in theaters, December 1946, it received mixed reviews. It barely broke even at the box office, received not one Academy Award. Its less than spectacular reception was a tremendous disappointment to Frank Capra. It was so generally ignored over the following 3 decades that in 1974, when its copyright came up for renewal, somebody in the studio office forgot or didn't bother to go to the trouble of renewing the copyright, and that's how one of the 10 greatest motion pictures of all times slipped inobtrusively into what's called the public domain. And that's why America's undisputed favorite holiday movie became just that, because television stations can air it for free, and so they air it often, exposing it to millions. Experts guesstimate that the owners, had they held on to the copyright, It's a Wonderful Life would be earning them conservatively $26 million a year. In addition to the more than 1,200 radio and television stations airing it at least twice each year, there are 15 video companies selling the classic on cassette. They're cranking out copies for what amounts to the wholesale cost of blank tape. That's right. To paraphrase its original title, maybe that is the greatest gift of all. That we all get rich every Christmas time. In lots of ways. Because we get to see and re-see and re-see, it's a wonderful life. Just because somebody, maybe some bumbling guardian angel, failed to renew the copyright. By the way, had that whoever it was back there bothered to renew the copyright, it would have cost his employers a renewal fee of only $4. Merry Christmas. And now you know the rest of the story.
Take an Apple personal computer system home for the holidays and get up to $200 back on select Apple add-ons. Just purchase a qualifying Apple IIc, Apple IIgs, or Macintosh Plus system. Add your choice of select Apple add-ons and get up to $200 cash back. You and your family can take home a complete Apple system with virtually everything you need and get cash back, too. It's as simple as that. But the offer expires January 2nd, 88. Certain restrictions do apply. See the folks at Empire Electronics in the Washington Plaza or call 479-6502.
I want to thank the folks at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe for providing the weekly prizes of Dinner for Two in Alaska Gold Trails. You all know where Laura's is, right across from the Daily News Miner. On behalf of all the folks here at KFAR and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension, I want to wish all the folks over at Laura's a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Radio Fairbanks, serving Alaska since 1963, is locally owned and operated. They're located over there in the Radio Fairbanks building at 1010 College Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number is 452-1049. That's 452-1049. What do they do? Well, they're your one-stop communication center, offering radio paging, radio telephone, systems engineering, answering service, voicemail, radio leasing, and maintenance. That's Radio Fairbanks, located at 1010 College Road. Sharp Fax FO210 transmits documents over phone lines to another machine in only 18 seconds. Prints without ink on thermal paper, so there's no messy cartridges to change. This machine is easy to operate. It automatically dials up to 87 numbers for you and will automatically feed up to 10 documents, so you don't have to stand there and feed them through. This Sharp's Fax FO210 is compatible with the three other types of fax machines. It's small in size, so it fits easily on a desktop. This fax machine has a polling function so that you can have telephone charges billed to you or the receiver. That's what I need. I need to bill my telephone charges to the receiver, sort of like calling collect. The polling can be set with its built-in timer so you can take advantage of the lower telephone rates during the late night, early mornings. It also features automatic contrast control so you know you will have clear documents transmitted. It prints on a roll of paper, so if you transmit or receive a half-page document, that's all it uses is a half page. You can find the Sharp Fax FO210 at Alaska Copiers, International Way off Van Horn Road. Call 452-6569. 24 Karat Alaska is giving away a lady's 1/2 carat ruby ring in a 14 karat gold setting. This is a value of $1,125. All you have to do is go down to 24 Karat Alaska at 525 4th Avenue and sign up. Now the drawing is December 20th. That's today, folks. The drawing is today. So scurry down to 24 Karat Alaska at 525 4th Avenue and sign up for that 1/2 carat ruby ring in a 14 karat gold setting worth $1,125. Now, I wanted to introduce Paul Borelka, who is one of Alaska's most colorful prospectors and miners. Paul was born and raised in Ohio. He always had a burning desire to search for treasures. Finally, after the Korean conflict, he journeyed northward through Canada and ultimately to Fairbanks. Paul's constant search for this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow led him into the frontier adventures. Here is one of Paul Borelka's most heartbreaking and most memorable Christmases.
Here with Paul Borelka today, and Paul's going to share one of his most fascinating Christmas tales with us that's centered around the festive season some years ago. Paul, what do you have for us today?
Well, I was thinking of Christmas, but not in terms of a happy Christmas. It was, at first it started off as being one of the best years of my life, and then ended up as a tragedy. But the thing about it was, is you have to understand that in the prospecting community or in the mining community, you know, it takes a long time for a person to be accepted. There's suspicion, and you know, you come in with a group, and you know, they sort of watch you and see what you do and how you act, and before they readily accept you. And of course, in the area that I was prospecting, to me were some of the real greats of Alaska. You know, I'm thinking of Hajdukovic and Emmerich and those fellows that were concentrating in the shall we say the Black Rapids area, all the way to from there all the way to Tanana. And of course, some of the greats, even thinking of Al Albertson and Petty John and Tex Greyhouse, and oh, just any old man Miller, and oh, I just can go on and on talking about some of these fellows. But you know, I was the youngest one of the group there that was interested in prospecting, and you know, I sort of wanted to get to be in the in group, so to speak. You know how young people are; they want to get to know the rest of the those that have similar or like interests, and then be accepted. Well, the thing about it was is that there sort of comes a time when a person is accepted into the group. You know, it just, if you sort of, shall we say, do something that it just so happens that it's accepted by everybody, they make a sign or a move to call you into their group or their clique. And in fact, it happened just before Christmas for me with those fellows that I was associating with in the Black Rapids area. In fact, a fellow I was talking with and trying to work with was Raleigh Emmerich, and he had some mining claims along Black Rapids area in there, and he always concentrated up in the glacier areas in there, which made him awful unusual because it was some of the hardest prospecting you can imagine. Especially, he would do his prospecting in the middle of the in the winter, and I was absolutely in awe of this fellow. He was about 6'6", and he weighed about 350 pounds, and he was a total woodsman and a shot like you couldn't believe. That fellow could shoot. It's just absolutely amazing to what he would at the distances he would hit his target. So I sort of had a high regard for him, and I always wanted to work with him because he was making some money digging nickel ore there that occurred in lenses, and they would ship that to Japan for his living, and then guide on the side and trap in the wintertime. So he would, to me, was the all-around man, and if I could just, let me just put it this way, if I could get next to him, I felt I made it, you know. And he was looked up to by the whole group. So one winter, I got a telephone call. I was living in Fairbanks at the time. I had to move away. I tried to obtain work in Delta, and I was unsuccessful in do it. So I was able to get a job in Fairbanks. So I stayed here in Fairbanks. But one December, Raleigh called me, and he told me, "Paul," he says, "come on down. I want to show you something." He says, "Do you remember when we used to talk about that gold mine that was lost up on top of the mountains, that at times we would go up there and try to locate it? Well, I want to show you where it's at." And of course, when I heard that, my heart just leaped with joy because of the fact that, you know, who wouldn't want to know where there's a lost gold mine? But more than that, It was a way of saying, "Paul, you're accepted into our group. You know, we're going to work with you. You're one of us now. You're accepted." And that to me was a Christmas present that I really cherished. You know, I mean, to be able to be considered part of the group. Well, of course, I went down to Delta this cold December day. I remember it distinctly because it was 50 below, and I mean cold. Golly, it just I huddled in that little car that I had going down there, and of course Raleigh lived right where that pump station 10 is. In fact, that it's built on his property, and he had a house right there. I think it's still standing there, and I stayed there overnight, and he prepared to take me up to what we call the Los Gumbarachka mine. And the story of that is just rather amazing in itself too, because evidently it was the cause or the reason the Black Rapid Stampede took place. And Raleigh felt that this is where all the gold came from. And he mentioned to me then that the fellows, that it's a very difficult place to get to, and the only way they could, shall we say, find it or get to it was to, in the middle of winter, when there was a phase inversion, in temperature inversion. See, the temperature would go down 50 below, but up on the mountains it would be as high as 30 above. And that would put a crust on the snow, and you could absolutely cut out steps on the top of the mountain. You could walk up to the top of the mountain on these steps. And he explained to me that you had to do this in the wintertime because there was an area of ice falls that in the summertime or any other time would be just absolutely too dangerous to cross. And the only way you could get to it is if the snow covered the area sufficiently to where you can come from the backside of the ice falls and then ascend the mountain to make it to the very top, because this vein was supposed to be on the very top of this mountain. And he asked, of course, if I wanted to go with him and get some gold. And I said, "Well, certainly." But he says, "Well, the main reason he called me was to show me the area of diggings that he was digging for his nickel ore, and he wanted me to help him do that, but he says to finance it, we'll just have to go up and get some gold." So I was really excited and thrilled, and to think of the day that I'd be able to go to the very top of the mountain and find the Los Gumbarachka mine. And in fact, the stories of it were just so amazing to me. But of course, usually the stories are more exaggerated than what the truth is. But anyway, we took off and from his home, and we drove down to Black Rapids. And, of course, we prepared with our snowshoes and the camping gear that we would need for the trip and for sleeping on the mountain in the middle of the wintertime. And we had all the clothes, and, oh, I'll tell you, I remember I was so overloaded with equipment that I could hardly walk. But that was all right. I didn't want him to think that I was a softy. But I was sort of glad that he was along, because he was just such a mountain of a man. He could carry almost what a whole dog team could pull. So we start taking off and up the mountain. And as we got up, it started to get warm. In fact, it was amazing because here it was such a cold area that we were walking through, you know, that your very breath would condense on your face and your eyes. You could hardly see because your eyebrows would be loaded with frost. And then all of a sudden, you hit this warm air up on top of this glacier. And it was just, it was so striking to hit a line like that between cold and warm that it almost shocked you. And when I looked up, there was a porcupine running across the glacier at that height, which I was absolutely amazed. I was absolutely flabbergasted to see a porcupine at that high of an elevation. And Elmerich just yelled to me, and he threw me a .22 rifle, and he said, "Shoot that thing, because that's our supper." And I was sort of still in shock of seeing, and I took the rifle, and I didn't want to miss the porcupine, so I aimed and shot at it in the body, which was a real stupid thing to do because you can't kill a porcupine that way with a .22. And Emmerich, about that time, he just about exploded. And he says, "Why, are you crazy, Pollock?" He said, "What did you do that for? You're supposed to shoot it in the head. He gave me that rifle." And I threw that rifle to him because he was really working up a mad. And he stepped right off of his snowshoes shooting that .22. And, of course, he shot that porcupine. But in stepping off his snowshoe, and why he did that, I don't know. He fell into the snow, and I remember we were walking on snowshoes because the snow was at least 30, 40 feet deep there. And when he stepped off that snowshoe, he fell right into the snow, and he sunk all the way up to his armpits. And then, of course, as he was moving, shooting, he was going in deeper, and then as he was moving, the exertion of him overtaxed his heart because of the high elevation. He had a heart attack. And he started to die. And, of course, the first thing I did when he did that was jump to in front of him and open up the area of his coat so I could punch him in the chest, which was I was doing. I was hitting him all I could and with all my might in the chest to try to start his heart again. And meanwhile, he's trying to grasp out to where the lost mine was. Well, he died on me, and that was overwhelmed me. It just the shock of him dying there up on top of the mountain. And of course, he was such a huge guy too, and I had quite a trouble to try to drag him down to an area where I could go to Delta and get a tow truck and get a highline and take the highline up the mountain and drag him, hook onto his body and drag him back. But that's what I did. And I'll never forget the feeling that I had of despair that here I went out to try to prove myself as one of the gang, and I end up bringing a dead man back. And what were they going to think of me now? And you know, here was the fellow that led to his death because he couldn't shoot a porcupine, you know, of all things, you know. So it was a... In this sense, I thought it would be one of my happiest Christmases, and you know, where I would be accepted, and I would be able to join in with all the activities those old timers did, you know, the fishing trips and all of that. In other words, I would be accepted as one of them, and invited into their hunting trips and prospecting trips, and here. Something as silly as that happened, you know. A man had to lose his life over a porcupine, you know. So it ended up being my saddest Christmas instead of my happiest.
Thank you, Paul, for providing us with one of your more memorable Christmases.
Fly round trip from Fairbanks to anywhere in the lower 48 or Canada for only $650, and there's no advance purchase required. This is a limited offer, so be sure and see Discount World Travel at the Regency Court Mall on Colleagues Road. Call 452-5504.
prime beef of Fairbanks and the Washington Plaza Mall has the freshest meat and seafood in town at fantastic prices with special savings this week. Want some shopping fun? They have a meat artist that sculpts their ground pork into little piggy faces to make shopping even more fun. There is a difference in meat, and if you've been shopping or making do with the meat you can buy from the same place where you buy your diapers, cleaning supplies, and dog food, why not do yourself a favor and go to the place that specializes in meat, Prime Beef of Fairbanks, where the friendly professional meat cutters will help you select the best cuts and even give you some tips on how to prepare them to retain their succulent flavor. With prices like those on fine quality meats, it's well worth a stop. Prime Beef of Fairbanks in the Washington Plaza Mall off Airport Way. Doesn't your family deserve the best?
If you like tangy barbecued ribs or delicious golden fried chicken, come to Rosie and Sons Restaurant. Why, when it comes to real Southern cooking, Rosie and Sons does it like nobody else can. And here's a special treat. This Christmas Day, Rosie and Sons will be serving roast turkey with cornbread dressing and sweet potato pie. They're open from 8 to 10, Monday through Thursday, and on Friday and Saturday, they'll stay there as long as you do. Remember, Rosie and Sons, just off Cushman on 27th Avenue. Y'all come on out now. Heya!
Fairbanks Handyman Service, 452-8840. In business in Fairbanks since 1974. Fairbanks Handyman Service owner is Jim Kelly. What your husband starts, Jim will finish. Emergency and miscellaneous repairs done 24 hours a day. There is no job too small for Fairbanks Handyman. They will do commercial or residential repairs from leaky faucets, broken doors, furniture repairs to windows and yard care. And to get your house or office building ready for winter, they'll do caulking of windows and doors. If your pipes break in the middle of the night, no problem. They can fix that too. Fairbanks Handyman also has plenty of satisfied customers who will be happy to give you references when you don't know who to call. Call Fairbanks Handyman Service. Remember, that's Fairbanks Handyman Service, 452-8840. What your husband starts, they'll finish.
Say, for a present with perks, stop by Empire Electronics and pick an Apple III, Apple IIc, Apple IIgs, and the versatile Macintosh Plus. Right now, when you purchase one of these qualifying Apple systems, you can get up to $200 cash back. Cash back on add-ons like an ImageWriter 2 printer, an Apple Personal modem, and more. Whether it's for your home or office, an Apple Personal computer system is virtually the only computer system you'll ever need. So stop by Empire Electronics. Pick an Apple. Hurry, the offer expires January 2nd. Empire Electronics, Washington Plaza.
Well, friends, the time has come to think seriously about your home heating needs, and the people of PetroStar Fuel want to put your mind at ease to save you the worry of making sure you'll have plenty of fuel to see you through the fast-approaching cold winter days. PetroStar Fuel offers you low prices and reliable automatic fill service that allows you peace of mind and less strain on your pocketbook. This service is tailored to your own needs, and don't forget, when you sign up for this service, they'll give you a preferred customer card that allows you a special discount of 5 cents off per gallon on automobile gas at their gas station near the Beaverbrook Mall. That's PetroStar Fuel at the corner of Badger and Hurst, or call 456-FUEL, 456-3835. Doug Culp is one of Alaska's most knowledgeable and respected authorities on placer mining. Doug was born in Petersburg, Alaska in 1914 and was raised on a fox farm near Petersburg. When he was 19, he came to Fairbanks in 1935 and attended the university, where he received a degree in mining engineering in 1940. Doug Culp is actively involved in placer mining in Alaska. Doug Culp has agreed to share one of his most memorable Christmases with us. Here's the interview I had with Doug just a couple of days ago.
And Doug's going to share one of his most memorable Christmases with us. This takes us back when Doug was a young lad and his father owned a fox farm in Petersburg, Alaska. Doug, tell us your Christmas story.
Well, Jim, this particular Christmas story that was probably the first Christmas that I can remember that I received a Christmas gift. My father had a hard time making things, meeting all his bills and raising his 100 and so foxes and his family. So the Christmases were kind of same as any other day. But on this, and I always wanted to do everything my father did, imitate him as much as I could. I was a big kid for my size, and if he'd take 50 pounds load, I'd try to take 50 pounds. If he took 100 pounds, I'd try to take 100 pounds, and so forth. So, and our fox ranch was on an island that had no roads, and so everything was done on a plank walk. The walk was 12 inches wide, and some places it was on the ground, and some places it was above the ground 8 or 10 feet. But it was always 12 inches wide, and so we had to we did all our transportation with wheelbarrows. That's one reason. The wheelbarrow teaches a person to walk on his hind legs. I found that out. And I always wished for a wheelbarrow that wasn't as big as my father's, because his is a little bit too wide in the handles for me at 10 years old. And so this particular Christmas, the Christmas tree was a jack pine tree, and it was all lit with red and green candles, and the candles were burning when I walked out of the bedroom. And hanging from the ceiling was a green wheelbarrow, a wheelbarrow painted green, the most beautiful thing I ever saw. And so that was probably the most thrilling present I ever got in my life, was this old-fashioned wheelbarrow with a steel wheel. But we used it for 2 or 3 years after that. If I would, my dad would have a load of fox feed in his wheelbarrow, I'd be right behind him with my little wheelbarrow with a load of whatever he was hauling. If he had a load of fish, I'd have a load of fish. If he had a load of cracklings for the foxes, I had one. And if he had a load of smoked salmon on his load and his barrow, I had a load on mine. But I remember getting that wheelbarrow as probably the most thrilling present I had, at least up until that time.
Well, thank you, Doug. We now join...
This concludes Alaska Gold Trails on December 24th, 1987.